Hello, and what is up, everybody? It's me, Marty the Meat Man here, your host of Cross Court Coverage, your all-NBA Celtics-focused podcast, proudly brought to you by Primetime Productions, primetimeproductions.net. That's the website. That's where you're going to find it all. We have up on primetimeproductions.net plenty of articles covering all sports. If you are watching UFC 300, we got stuff covering that. We had, you know, preliminary articles, and we have, you know, post-fight articles. We got articles on the Sox. We got articles on football. We got articles on, I don't know if there's anything on the Cardinals yet on the article front. But we're covering most of the sports. We're covering all the your hot topics in the NHL and everything like that. Also on the website, you can easily find all of the podcasts. That is right. All of the podcasts that you know and love from Prime Time Productions on the websites. That includes Drop the Mitts. That includes Only Brewing, Something's Brewing, us here at Cross Court Coverage. You got Breaking the Plane, Indie Bleeds Blue, the Drop Back Podcast. Who else am I forgetting? The Red Bird Report, Only Socks, Starched MMA. I know the Overtime Chicks are going to be recording soon, so keep an eye out for that. We also have Four Guys, One Carts, your daily living, your golf lifestyle podcast. There's also Primetime Parlay, which is not a podcast, but a daily 7 day a week live betting show. You can follow at PTP Bets or follow, well, you should follow at PTP Bets and follow at Primetime Prods on X to keep up with your daily gambling needs. They are not professional gamblers. They keep having me on, and I'm fucking 8-20 or some shit at this point on the month. We're in the hole, but we're trying to dig ourselves out. Also, cannot forget Windy City Radio, one of the newer podcasts on the network. Had to give a shout out to Kel Dog. That's also a Yankee shout out because they're dogs. But I know this is an NBA podcast. I know most of my fans are Boston people. I know, I got it, whatever. I'm just saying, the Yankees are fucking dogs. Anyways, but the final bit of plugging, the final bit of news, the final bit of advice is also to go to primetime-productions.square.site. This is the merch store, ladies and gentlemen. This is where you can get your comfy, cozy, sexy merch from everything PTP. All the shows that I listed, Cross Court Coverage, Only Bruins, Only Socks, Primetime itself, Primetime Parlay, Red Bird Report, Something's Brewing, Starched MMA, Windy City Radio, they all got merch. They all got merch on the website, and you can pick it up, rep your favorite pod, rep the brand, rep whatever, whomever, all ever, whatever you want, you know, all of it. You can buy it all. That'd be fucking sick. The one thing with all that is they do accept Apple Pay. They do accept all major credit cards. And there is also Afterpay. So if, you know, you gambled a little too much on the ponies, or you thought the Red Sox were going to stay hot and they have not, then, you know, you can easily have your ship your merch out and pay it off in 4 easy interest-free payments. That is the plug. That is the merch store. We are Primetime Productions. We are ready and rolling. Last thing. Congratulations to Anna at Celtics Freak 50 for winning the Cross Court Coverage giveaway. She will be receiving a free, everyone's favorite price, free 99. Free tea to represent the pod. So shout out to her for entering. Shout out to everyone for entering and sharing the post. We are looking to do a couple more, maybe giveaways in the future. Maybe when new merch comes out. Maybe from you know, we picked up a little t-shirt on Fan Appreciation Night, and it doesn't exactly fit me or Larry, so might have to pass that along. We shall see. So keep your eyes posted, as always, to at NBA Cross Court. That is our location on Twitter, on X. We're looking to do some fun giveaways. We're looking to, you know, keep the crowd entertained, keep the, you know, keep the interactions up, keep y'all invested. So why not give you some freebies just for the fun of it? You've been so wonderful to me, so wonderful to us here, with your support and love. So we just want to give it back. But again, congratulations, Anna, on winning. Thank you all for who entered. Sorry, Kel, that is the worst beat I've ever seen. You got beat by like 3 pixels. I thought that thing was going to land on your name, but the wheel of doom, the wheel of fate, however you want to spin it. Yep, it picked. It did not pick you, my friend. But shout out to everyone involved. Shout out to everyone who you know, threw their hat in the ring for a free tea. And keep your eyes peeled for more things of that nature. And that's all I'm going to say on that. Larry handles the promo crap. He was trying to give me shit for sleeping. I had to take a nap yesterday. Sorry, Larry. We got the winner out. So, with all that being said, with the plugging of the merch store, with the plugging of the website, with the plugging away, it's time to get episode 34, the Paul Pierce episode, ready and rolling. And the theme of this episode is going to be, same as Paul Pierce, the truth. We're going to talk about the realness, the truth, the situations going down in the NBA. We have some wild and wacky scenarios going on. As you should know, if you're listening to an NBA podcast, the playoffs begin officially on April the 20th, next Saturday. The play-in will be on April 16th and April 19th. And we don't have seeding. I mean, we have some teams who are locked into their seeds, but for the most part, we don't have seeding going into this playoffs. All 30 teams are playing today, Sunday, April the 14th. So as this comes out to you, if you're hearing it on drop day, that's awesome. If you're listening to it a day or two from now, then you know what happened. You've seen how it all shook out, but you're living in the future and I'm living in right now. So let's get into it. Let's dice it up. Injury front. We have Devin Vassell. No, this was last week's. God damn it. Larry. All right. Anyways, Devin Vassell, if you didn't know from last week, is out for the rest of the season. It's unimportant because the Spurs are not relevant. Whatever. Injury front, only one of note. Happened against us. This is why you rest your starters, ladies and gentlemen. Giannis Antetokounmpo had a non-contact calf sprain. Looking at a 1 to 2 week recovery. They better not force him back, but they're going to ice him. They're going to rest it. They're going to take their time. You know, they only got one game left. And it was a scary injury. It was one of those things where he was just kind of walking, running down the court, grabbed the back of his leg and instantly sat down. Everyone thought it was an Achilles tear, which that would have been awful. Not that this is good, but that would have been way worse. So I guess this is best case scenario, given the way that injury looked, given the situation at hand. But this is exactly why the Celtics have been resting their starters for the last few games. This is why they've been going probably 75%. Richard White, shout out Richard White, and I both said go into the playoffs healthy and hot. We're not going in so hot. I mean, the benches, the G Leaguers are, they're fucking hyped up. But healthy for the starters was the main focus, I guess. That's what Brad wanted. That's what Wick wanted. That's what Joe wanted. And that's what we're getting. We're going to get healthy, rested starters going into the playoffs. I mean, we're 15, 14, 27, 89 games ahead of everyone else in the Eastern Conference. So who really gives a fuck if we lose out? I do, but that's just because I want W's and W's and W's and W's. But at the same time, you know, you don't want anyone banged up. You don't want anyone hurt. You want everyone fresh, ready to go. So hopefully they can just put some lighter fluid under their asses and spark that right back up. You know, I want to go in hot. I want to go in, you know, with energy and fear in the opponent's eye. Energy for us and fear in the opponent's eyes. But watching this Giannis injury, it changed the whole. I mean, like, I was gonna be a little on top of Joe. I was gonna be a little on top of Brad. I was gonna be a little upset that we're pulling our punches, but now I'm kind of glad. I'm glad to see that none of our big names are going into the playoffs banged up, hurt, questionable. I know it's not on the injury report, but I did see that Joel Embiid did tweak the knee that he, you know, was out for most of the season for, playing in some game that's only going to give them a one or two higher seed. Like, I don't think that if your team is already in the playoffs, if you've already locked in a spot and you have a talent like a Joel Embiid, like a Giannis Antetokounmpo, like a Jason Tatum, like a Jaylen Brown, like a Kristaps Porzingis, like a Drew Holiday. Oh, well, now I'm just listening to Celtics. If you have all-stars, if you have superstars on your team, and they're a little dinged up, they're a little banged up, rest them. I mean, I don't know that Giannis was dinged up or banged up, but even so, like, they're locked into a 2-3-4 seed. Who gives a fuck? Who cares where you shake out in that? If it means that you're going to lose Giannis or Dame, because after those two names, your team is not deep. The 76ers have less of an excuse. Like, they had Maxey. They've survived without Embiid. They're still in the playoffs without Embiid. They didn't have to rush him back. Now he's banged up and hurt that knee again. I mean, hopefully just a spur of the moment stinger or something like that, but you never know. So I do appreciate what Brad and Joe and Wick and everyone in the Celtics organization has decided to do. We're going in. You can call it sheepish. You can call it load managing. You can call it whatever. Tatum's sat, I think, in a total of 8 games this whole season. So we can chalk up one more. He ain't no Jimmy Buckets. He ain't no Kawhi Leonard or Paul George or any of these other geriatric fucks who take weeks on end off because they stubbed their toe. I ain't mad about it. We're going to be healthy going into the playoffs. That's all that's important. But that is it on the injury front. Nothing else to report. No one of note. Nothing like that. I know Kat is back. I know Trey is back. I'm trying to think of any other big names. Pardon me. I don't think Kevin Hoyter or Malik Monk are back yet. I don't know if they have possibility of coming back. But yeah. We'll leave that out. We'll leave that as is. Let's see. Adam Silver. We called this episode The Truth, right? Here's the truth. Adam Silver might be a bad commissioner. I'm just going to say it. I know he's fun. And, you know, grows the brand and does a good job promoting us and everything like that. But as a rule maker, as judge, jury, executioner, you fucking blow at your job, bro. This whole Jonte Porter thing, scrub ass nobody from the Raptors. You're making this. What's the quote? Adam Silver said, a cardinal sin against basketball. Now, I get it. You want the sanctity of the game. You want integrity of the game. You want it so that your players are playing the game to play the game and not make some extra skrilla on the side, not to be making prop bets on themselves and, you know, influencing the Vegas money lines and whatever the fuck it is. But to call this the cardinal sin, while you got women abusers, while you got child abusers, while you've got sexual predators, while you've got sexual assaulters in this league currently playing, currently being featured as big names on their team. Sit down and shut the fuck up, Adam Silver. Holy shit. We're going to call gambling on basketball for some guy who averages 12 minutes a fucking game and probably puts up a 5-2-3 stat line. We're going to call that a cardinal sin. Not putting hands on women. Not putting hands on children. Not grooming or sexually assaulting children and women. No, we're gonna chalk up gambling. I said it last week. I'll say it again. You want to find the problem? You want to find the reason why players are gambling and why this is such a big issue now? Every fucking commercial is DraftKings, FanDuel, BetMGMT. That's a fucking band. Never mind. BetMGM, whatever the fuck. You are pumping this betting culture. You are sucking its dick. And don't get me wrong, I have no problem with betting. I have no problem with gambling unless it's a problem in your life, unless it is detrimental to your well-being or your way of life. If you are gambling the rent money or you are living or you're gambling above your means, that's get help. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Call Play Safe if you're in Canada. There are resources for that, but to be the NBA commissioner and say that the cardinal sin against this sport is betting on basketball, bro, let's be fucking for real. Let's get the truth out there. This is a layup. This is why it's the cardinal sin, because you can fucking just dunk on Jonte Porter, because you have the ability to be like, I see what you did. It is wrong. I'm going to fucking dunk on you and possibly, quote unquote, banish you from the league. Then have the same balls. Have the same cojones. Sack the fuck up when it comes to domestic violence, when it comes to sexual assault, when it comes to grooming and being a predator. I don't even need to say the fucking players' names. You all know who the fuck I'm talking about. But we're talking about the Josh Primos, the Josh Giddies, the fucking what the fuck is this motherfucker's name? Miles Bridges, however. All of them. Any of them. The fucking Ben McLemore's. All of them. You're going to fucking hit the ban hammer on some guy who goes on Discord and says, hey, I'm butt cheeks, but I might get 7 rebounds today. I might really, really try to make that betting line move. But you don't care when there's active investigations, when there's active police reports out for way more heinous, illegal, disgusting behavior. Get fucked, Adam Silver. Wholeheartedly with my whole fucking chest. Get fucked, you bald motherfucker. Come correct or don't come at all. You're going to act like this is the cardinal fucking sin. That's the worst part, is that's your words. Those are your words saying that this is a cardinal sin. No, I really think that the women and children who watch our sport don't give a fuck that this guy gambled some fucking schmeckles on some overs and unders. I think they care about being victimized and having a league act like they don't give a shit about what could happen to someone like them. I think that's more important. I think those are bigger cardinal sins. And guess what? There doesn't have to be just one cardinal sin. There could be many. You could have a fucking list of, hey, if you do any of this shit, you're going to get hit with the ban hammer. You're going to get suspended for a fucking year. You're going to have some fucking balls. Adam Silver, stand up for what is right and what your fans fucking believe in and what everyone thinks you should be doing. I get it. Quote unquote, this is a difficult topic. Quote unquote, it's he said, she said. Quote unquote, we're going to leave it to the courts. Nah, dude. Ban these motherfuckers. Ask questions later. You can always apologize. You can always compensate them if you're fucking wrong. It's always easier to walk back a sentencing or a suspension or anything like that and say, yo, we messed up. My bad. It is harder to take someone that you have had playing in the league all fucking year long, even though they're a piece of shit, and then somehow change the narrative, being like, actually, I know we let him play all year long, but he is a bad guy. You're never gonna, that just does not fucking work, dude. It doesn't. Not in this sport, not in any sport. Not in real life. Not in any world. That's the truth. Number 34, Paul Pierce. That's the truth. Episode 34, we're talking about the truth. Adam Silver's a bitch. And he's taking the easy way out. And he's trying to dunk on Jonte Porter. And you know what? I got the mic and I can say whatever the fuck I want. And that's the truth. It's aggravating to constantly support this league and constantly support basketball and constantly love the game and then hear this kind of shit. To hear these kind of guys can just keep playing no matter what, little to no repercussions. And then we pretend that something like this is way bigger because it's not. I get it. I don't think that NBA players should gamble. Not on themselves, not on the games that they're involved in, not on games. You can gamble on any other fucking sport, bro. Jonte Porter, you're not getting out of this scot-free. You are an idiot and a dickhead. And that does fuck with the integrity of the game, but so does everything that Adam Silver isn't fighting against. Have a fucking backbone, bro. It's not hard. It is not hard to just take a stance against shitty people. Imagine how great this you want to grow the game? Kick the fucking assholes out. A lot of people will appreciate you for that. Like a lot of fucking people. But I digress. And that's all I'm going to say on that motherfucking matter. In Timberwolves news, A-Rod and Mark Lohr are back in. I guess the door is not completely closed. They are trying to pitch their want to buy the team. I said last week or 2 weeks ago or whenever the fuck the news broke that the deal fell through, that door was closed. The owners now have their opportunity to revalue the team and everything like that. Oh, door's back open. That's how money talks. Bullshit walks. that's really all it is. When you have billions of dollars on the table, you're not really closing the door on a deal. I get it. It was a strategy. It worked. They're back in the fucking room. But no sale as of yet, nothing official, but they are back in negotiations for buying the team. Let's see. The Knicks were fined $25,000 for an injury report violation. They said Mitchell Robinson was not playing or was out. And then he played. It's the same shit we talked about last week with Joel Embiid. It's a strategy. You know, you can, if you don't mind spending $25,000 to $100,000 for lying about the injured players, then you know, fuck it, the owner will shell out that money. Or you could just report the injuries correctly. I don't think you get that much of an upper that much of a leg up on the competition by lying about Mitchell Robinson being in or not. But good try, New York. You got slapped with the no-no. Some bright news. And it also has to deal with the Suns. So actually, very bright. The Suns are signing Isaiah Thomas, former Celtic, former Sun, journeyman in the NBA, but love him. Shout out IT. He will be signed for the rest of the season throughout the playoffs. Do I think he's going to be relevant? Do I think he's going to get very much playing time? No. But it is cool to see him back on an NBA roster. You know, you always love to see these old heads who at one point would put up 50 burgers, not just fade away, not just kind of like go into free agency and then never get signed again. You know, I'd like to see some IT minutes in the playoffs. That'd be cool. got to put a pin in that and see what the Suns decide to do with him. But he is on a roster. He is no longer a free agent. The Clippers are trying to get younger. They have signed Kai Jones to a multi-year deal. In doing so, they cut Josh Primo, which is a win. He never should have been on your fucking roster because he's a serial whip out your dick during fucking psychiatry or therapy sessions kind of guy. Shouldn't be in the league, but you know, we already talked about that. So glad he's cut. Glad he's not on a team right now. But Kai Jones, young center, cut from the Hornets earlier this season, now going to be signed to a multi-year deal with the Clippers. So pretty cool for them. Let's see. Philly. Philadelphia has unveiled an Allen Iverson statue. Now, I will admit that when I first saw the statue, I was with everyone on the internet. What the fuck? How disrespectful are they? Allen Iverson got a like 3 foot tall statue in front of the arena. And everyone was clowning him for it because they're like, yo, Rocky's got like a full sized fucking giant statue and he's a fictional character. And you're actually someone who, you know, was huge in the Philly sports scene for many years. Let's take a step back and realize that every Philly legend has the same size statue in front of the arena. There is one for Wilt Chamberlain. There is one for Julius Irvin. There is one for forgetting everyone who's ever played for Philly right now. But all the people that they put in their basically Philly Hall of Fame or their team, you know, Walk of Fame, they all have the same size statue. So let's, you're not just going to give AI a giant statue. You're just not. You can't have him have a giant statue and Will have a little statue. So it was a symmetry thing. It was a equal head nod to all the other legends of Philadelphia 76ers history. So I will pull back my comments on how small the statue is. But without the context, it is pretty funny. I do totally get that. But there is context to it. So shout out AI for an illustrious, amazing career. One of the most electric players to grace the NBA. Yeah, forever enshrined as a Philadelphia 76er legend in bronze or copper or whatever the fuck they make statues out of. I don't really know. The final note on league news. Turns out, or it appears that, and there could be other names on this list right now, but these are the hot topics. Frank Vogel and JB Bickerstaff are both apparently in the hot seat. Which, like, why? Like, I get it, but, like, why? Your teams are in the playoffs. Your teams are good. You have a chance for the title, both of you. But this new age of success or need for success in the NBA is ridiculous. The firing of Coach Coach Bud, can't say his fucking full name. Firing of Coach Bud was kind of like the first. I mean, no, even a few years back, the firing of Dwayne Casey, the firing of Frank Vogel from the Lakers. It seems like the shelf life of being a NBA coach is getting shorter and your job security is dwindling, which is crazy because these people have success. These people have teams that are going to the playoffs. These people have, you know, not tenure apparently, but like they should. They have, you know, their names that we know, their names that we talk about, their coaches that, you know, Charlotte, the Nets, any of these shit ass franchises would love to have. I don't know. It's this new age NBA. I mean, it happened to Adrian Griffin this year. He was doing fine. They were the two seed in the East, and guess where they are now? Still fighting for the two seed in the East. So what did you change, Milwaukee? I think these owners or management or whomever is making these decisions are getting a little too quick on the trigger, a little too trigger happy, a little just fidgety. Let it fucking play out, dude. Like, I get it if, like, you're the one seed and then you get a first-round sweep. Maybe consider firing your coach. I could see that. But, like, to talk about it before the playoffs have even started, to talk about, hey, you got your team to where they needed to go, and now they just need to win a championship, but you also might lose your job. Like, what the fuck is that? Let's add some extra anxiety to your whole job. You're an NBA coach and you need to take all these grown men and all these differing personalities and make it all work together, or you're fucking fired. Even though you made it work for most all the season and they're going to the playoffs, and you know, like, that's what you want from the regular season, is to get to the playoffs. That's all you need from the regular season. You don't need a one seed. You don't need a two seed. You need to be fucking 10 or better. And, like, yeah, some people want to be, what, 10, 9, 8, 6 or better? I understand that, too. But, like, to come for these guys' jobs for clinching a playoff berth is insane. But this is the NBA we live in right now. This is the world as it is. All right. Historic moments in the NBA. Only got one note of NBA history for this week, and that is Luka Doncic and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander are the third pair ever. The third pair of players ever to have 50 plus games of 30 plus points in the same season. This was done before by Wilt Chamberlain and Elgin Baylor, and this was also done by Walt Bellamy and Wilt Chamberlain. So Wilt's and someone else two times before that. But Luka and SGA cementing themselves among legends, among, you know, names that we all know. I'm pretty sure all those guys are in the Hall of Fame. If not, let's work on getting Elgin and Bellamy in there. But, like, they should be in the Hall of Fame. But that's dope. I mean, 50-plus games of 30-plus points is a lot of fucking points. I mean, shout out, one, for playing 50-plus games. Half the league can't fucking do that. And two, staying at that. I mean, that's why they're 2-3 or 3-2, however it shakes out in the MVP ladder. That's why they're up there. They're consistent. They're, you know, putting up points in bunches and doing it night in and night out. And that's what you want. Those are franchise players. Those are guys to build around. And they become the third pair ever to do it. So shout out to them. Shout out to the West. Shout out to points. All right. Just breathe right in the mic. I'm sorry. Gonna do this a little different. We're gonna bring up the Celtics talk, and then we're gonna talk about the playoffs and standings and everything like that. Cause, like, right now, the playoffs and the standings is fucking wild, nutty, go crazy. So we'll cover the C's and where we are. Oh, wait, we're still the number one seed. Nothing has changed for months. Celtics are currently 63-18. Let's see. Last week we played Portland. I predicted we would win. We did, 124-107. I predicted we would win against the Bucks. We did not. We did sit Jaylen Brown and Derek White in that game. And I'm pretty sure we pulled our starters around halfway through the third. We almost pulled the comeback, and then it got away from us. Whatever. Again, healthy going into the playoffs seems to be the mantra, seems to be the rhetoric right now. The Knicks, half of our starters were out. We played a pretty competitive game. It ended up being 109 to 118. I got that prediction wrong as well. Again, valuing health over late season production when you're ahead by 15 games. I get it. Not happy with it, but I get it. And then the game against the Hornets, which I was in attendance for. It was fucking awesome. All of our starters sat, and Al, like all six of our starters sat. Peyton Pritchard, Sam Hauser, O'Shea Brissett, Namias Keita, fucking Drew Peterson, Jaden Springer, like the bench, G League, and depth guys went off. Just popped the fuck off. And Brandon Miller played. And Miles Bridges played. And starters played for the Hornets. So let's not pretend that our team just went against like the Hornets bench. Latter half of the game, sure, maybe. But these are G Leaguers. These are guys who never get minutes in NBA games. These are guys who at best get a five minute, you know, shift. We beat them 131 to 98. They couldn't break 100. We almost broke fucking, well, we didn't almost break 150, but it felt that way. Peyton was on fire. O'Shea was on fire. Nimi was on fire. Shout out to Nimi. He got signed to the full contract, multi-year. I don't know the specifics of it, but he is on the active roster. Shout out to the main Celtics, because half of them played for us against the Hornets. They will be going for the title on Monday, tomorrow, the 15th, against the Oklahoma City, whatever the fuck their G League team is. It was hype. To watch the bench go off, to watch the starters sit on the bench and hype the guys up, I'll take it. Because guess what? Those guys are going into the playoffs hot. Our bench guys are ready to fucking rumble. Peyton Pritchard, I could not be happy. I like Malcolm. There was a Green Runs Deep posted it on Twitter. Would you rather have Malcolm Brogdon last year or Peyton Pritchard this year? I take Peyton Pritchard this year 10 times out of 10. You know, it's night and day. Just the energy. It's a different look. The fire under his ass, the creation, the speed, all of it. I love it. Peyton Pritchard offense. And it's not just him scoring. He had 23 points and 9 assists at halftime. I think he finished the game with like 31 points and 10 assists or some shit like that. Like, that was a great fucking game. We almost had 4 of our bench players with double doubles. That's insane. Against guys who are getting paid nothing, playing against dumbass Miles Bridges and Brandon Miller and the rest of their squad. Put a show on. So we have the Wizards today, April 14th, Sunday at like 1. I'm going to drop this around 11:30, 12. So before the game, you have time to listen. We're playing the Wizards. We are sitting all our starters again. It's going to be Peyton Pritchard and the Bus One boys and the G Leaguers and the depth pieces. Oh, wait. Shout out Jordan Walsh. 2 for 3 on 3-pointers. Saw him do a slam a jamma. That was fun. Yeah, but all your favorite backups, all your favorite bench players, all your favorite depth guys playing against the shit-ass Wizards. I'm hyped. It's going to be another game of the bench coming in hot, coming in ready, getting their minutes getting warmed up. This is good. The bench will be able to come in for the starters. Who might have a little rust. Who might have, you know, a little bit of a rest day hangover kind of thing. So we'll be able to call the guys on the bench and be like, hey, get your fire ass out there. Spark it up. Ignite something underneath these guys. And they will. Because I just watched them do it against the Hornets, and I'm going to watch them do it again against the Wizards. Can't forget this either. Shout out Mr. Drew Holiday. Shout out Drew Holiday for loving the Celtics, loving Boston, loving the organization and the city. Shout out to the Celtics for doing right by Drew and his wife and his kids. Drew Holiday is signing a 4-year extension worth $135 million. He will be turning down his $37.3 million player option. And yeah, that's a lot of money to be just throwing around and saying and not giving context for. But this, in the long run, will save the Celtics millions of dollars in cap space. Everyone was saying at the beginning of the season that this extension was going to be like $200-something million. Well, it's not. Brad got on the fucking phone, did some Brad things, and locked this guy down for $135 million over the next 4 years. He's going to retire a Celtic. He said, fuck you, Milwaukee. You do me dirty, I'll do you dirtier. And thank you so much, Drew, for being a team player. Thank you so much, Drew, for understanding what we have here. And he said, I love this city and I win one championships. Not one. He put an S on the end of that word. Championships. So let's fucking go. Means we have our core locked up. Anyone who's worried about D. White still has bird rights. We can still sign him. No problem with an extension. It's just going to cost Wick money. And I don't think Wick gives a shit. I don't think Wick can finance his third house or sell his second yacht, or he does not care. When you got a core like this, you go above the luxury tax. You go above the second apron. You pay the league whatever the fuck it costs in tax money. Because this team is so well constructed and such a well-oiled machine and just vibes and just works together so well. It's nuts. And to see Brad just keep figuring it out, to see Brad just keep making the trades that make sense, signing the guys that make sense, extending the guys that make sense, like, bravo to management, to ownership, to all of you. Cheers to a beautiful fucking regular season, because guess what? We're ending this regular season with less than 20 losses. That's insane. That's fucking nuts. Congratulations to everybody involved. Congratulations to us as fans. Woo! It's a beautiful time to be alive as a Celtics fan. And I don't really care. Hashtag the truth. Episode 34. Paul Pierce. The truth. I don't care who we get. Round one. I'm not afraid of any one team more than the other. Not because certain teams aren't more talented than the other one or certain teams don't, you know, pose a bigger threat to us. But I don't care. I'm not scared because this team is not losing a 7-game series against any other team. It's just not fucking happening. I think our biggest losing streak of the year was 3 games. The biggest losing streak of the year was 3 games. That's not happening in the fucking playoffs. The lackadaisical, the playing down to your competition, the taking a night off kind of play that we saw in the regular season, that's not happening in the playoffs. It's not. These guys are bored. These guys have been to the finals, the Eastern Conference Finals, and now have the best league record. They are 15 games ahead of second place. They're fucking bored. They've been playing with their food. They've been waiting for the playoffs since fucking October. Let's be real. Because that's the truth of the matter. It is hard to go out there day in and day out and give it your fucking all when you know that you're already 20 games up. When you know that you're already the best team in the goddamn league. When you have teams trading and cutting and signing and doing everything just to recreate what you have. I am not fazed. I am not moved. I am not scared. And I believe that that's how this fucking roster feels. I believe that that's how this fucking coach feels. I believe that that's how Wick and goddamn Brad Stevens feel. We are not shook. We are not moved. We are ready. Ready to fucking roll. This week of practice is going to be intense. It's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a lot because they are gearing up for Banner 18. Period. The end. And ain't nobody, no Sixers, no Heat, no Knicks, no fucking Magic, no nobody getting in the goddamn way. Yeah, I'll say that with my chest from the top of a fucking mountain. I'll scream it to the world. These Celtics are primed. Primed and ready to run through the East. I do think that the finals, whoever we get matched up with, will be a battle, will be a contest. But I'm still confident. I am not afraid of any team that's going to match up against this team. Not. Plain and simple. You can call me crazy. You can call me a homer. Not. I've seen the way that this team plays. I've seen the way that this team plays when they don't give a fuck. And they're still better than half the teams in the league. So, that being said, the playoff picture, the standings, what is going on? Not just in the East, but in the West. In the East, there are three teams locked into their playoff seeding. That is the Celtics at 1, the Bulls at 9, and the Hawks at 10. Those are the only teams that know their seed going into the fucking playoffs. In the West, the only teams that know their seed going into the playoffs are the Clippers at 4 and the Mavs at 5. Everyone else moving and shaking all on this final day of the NBA. All on this Sunday, moving and shaking. Let's see. The East. We have the Bucks, the Knicks, and the Cavs in that order, all fighting for the second, third, and fourth seed. The Bucks and the Knicks are tied at 49 and 32, and the Cavs are at 48 and 33. But if the Cavs win and the Knicks and the Bucks lose, then they're the 2 seed, and vice versa, and all the different shaking and moving. In the East, we have 5, 6, 7, 8. Magic, Pacers, Sixers, Heat. Could all be shooken up. The Heat are at 8 right now, and they could end the day at seed 5. That's crazy. You got the Magic, Pacers, and 76ers all tied at 46 and 35. It could shake up, however. I don't know the tiebreakers. I'm not getting into it. I'm not telling you the clinching scenarios because I worry about one team and they wear green and they're at the top and they're like fucking 20 games ahead of everybody and they have not had to worry about any of this for months. In the West, OKC, the Timberwolves, and the Nuggets could all shake around for the 1, 2, 3 seeds. They're all tied at 56 and 25. The Suns and the Pelicans could swap for 6 and 7. The Pelicans are currently at 6th, and the Suns are currently at 7, but that could easily change. And then 8, 9, 10, Lakers, Kings, and Warriors. The Lakers are 46 and 35, and then both the Kings and the Warriors are 45 and 36. That could move and shake. There is nothing set in stone about the seeding of these playoffs, about the play-ins, about the playoffs, about none of it. Until the end of today. Until we see how everything shakes the fuck out. Which is electric. I love it. It's wild. And it doesn't allow for anyone to predict anything. And that's why I said I'm not scared about anyone. Because I don't even fucking know who we're playing. I couldn't tell you who's going to be the 8 seed. because I don't even know who's playing in the play-in. No one does. This shit's still up in the air with one game left in the regular season. And I love it. That's awesome. That's fun. That's exciting. I will dunk on the Hawks real quick. You're 36 and 45. What the fuck? Like, why are you even quote unquote a playoff team? How did we lose to you twice? You should be 34 and fucking 47, but I digress. Let's see. So I'll run through the standings as are right now, but giant fucking asterisks. This is all subject to change by the time you hear this episode. If you don't listen to it before the games tip off today, April 14th, then I might sound like a liar. I might sound like a Looney Tune because I'm just going to, who knows where any of these teams are going to be. In the East, it is the Celtics at 1, Bucks at 2, the Knicks at 3, the Cavs at 4, the Magic at 5, the Pacers at 6, the Sixers at 7, the Heat at 8, the Bulls at 9, and the Hawks at 10. With your current play-in teams being the Sixers, Heat, Bulls, and Hawks. Moving over to the West. The OKC Thunder are 1. The Wolves are 2. The Nuggets are 3. The Clippers are 4. The Mavs are 5. The Pelicans are 6. The Suns are 7. The Lakers are 8. The Kings are 9. And the Warriors are 10. With your current play-in teams being the Suns, Lakers, Kings, and Warriors. Wild. Because, like, what I just read to you could be null and void in hours. Less than half a day. Less than 12 hours from now, that could all fucking change. And that's nuts. The final bit, the final segment, the final information, the final finals that I want to give you. When this season kicked off, I predicted the standings. Now, I will tell you that my seeding is incorrect, but also the seeding is not figured out, so who knows? But I only picked 2 teams that are on my list that aren't in the playoffs. And so I feel pretty good about that. Feel pretty accurate about that, but let's just go through it. I predicted that the Boston Celtics and Bucks would be 1 and 2. The 76ers and the Knicks would be 3 and 4. The Heat and the Cavs would be 5 and 6. And the Nets and the Hawks would be 7 and 8. Obviously, the Nets did not make the playoffs. They were a lot more shit-ass than I expected. The 76ers, yeah, I had them at the 3 seed. I didn't know Joel Embiid was going to be missing for half the fucking year. Cavs are better than I expected. I didn't account for the Magic at all. Like, it's just going to be real. But yeah, I mean, like, the rest of the list is pretty dead on, pretty accurate. Still could come out with correct seeding, interestingly enough. My seeding in the West, ass. I'll just be straight up. I did not get the seeding right at all. But I got the right teams, except for one. I had the Suns at 1, the Nuggets at 2, the Warriors at 3, the Kings at 4, the Lakers at 5, the Grizzlies at 6, OKC at 7, and the Wolves at 8. So take the 7 and 8 seed and put them up at the 2-3 or the 1-2 or the however it's going to shake out. I knew they were going to be playoff teams this year. I knew they were going to contend. Did not expect them to go off or be as hot as they were, but, you know, that's how this goes. The Suns? Yeah, the Suns should be down at 7, not at 1. I get it. I was wrong. That big 3 can't stay healthy, nor can they even play well together when they do play together. The other day they were playing, oh, fuck, who were they playing? The Clippers, maybe? And it was like 35-5 at the end of the first. And their whole big 3 was in. Like, Suns, what the fuck are we doing? I know I was trying to defend Frank Vogel's job, but, like, the players are not making it fucking easy for him. Let's just be real about that. Nuggets up at the top, obviously. I thought the Warriors would be better, but, you know, Klay Thompson sucks and has really just kind of come back down to earth. He is no longer Splash Brother Klay. He's like distant cousin Splash distant cousin. Kings, I expected more of. Lakers, I thought Bron was going to be Bron, and Bron is Bron. And healthy AD is healthy AD, but guess what? That gets you an 8 seed. Not a 5 seed. It gets you an 8 seed. Grizzlies. I'm sorry. I did not plan or assume or think that half your fucking roster would die. That you would have season-ending injuries on every mainstay on that fucking roster. So, yeah, I mean, the Grizzlies aren't even, they're a lottery pick. So, that was wrong. And I didn't give the Mavs their flowers. I mean, they were a play-in team last year. Luka has been on fire this year. I got that wrong. You know, like, can't get them all right. I went fucking 14 for 16 on playoff teams, and the seeding is all out of whack, but not bad, not good, not terrible. Say that. Wasn't awful. Mainly got the idea down. And you know what? Seeding doesn't always matter. The fucking Heat were an 8 seed last year. They were a playing team. And they went and played the Nuggets. So seeding's just a number in front of your name. Seeding is just whoever you're going to play. But you should be ready to play anyone and everyone at every fucking given time. And I think the Celtics are. So, ladies and germs, ladies and gentlemen, this is the final episode before the playoffs. By the time that I speak to you next, the play-in will be done. Excuse me. The play-in will be done. And little sneaky preview. We will have a guest next week. Mr. Joey Vibes. The Joey Vibes, Primetime Productions' very own Joseph Vibers, will be on the other side of this microphone with me, talking playoffs, talking basketball, talking, you know, a recap on the regular season. Maybe we'll go over some awards that we see coming out. Oh, we'll see. We'll see what we chalk up. But me, man, and Joey Vibes, 420. Holy. That's all I got to say. That shit's going to be electric. I'm looking forward to it. If you're listening, brother, bring your A game. Yeah, you never don't. I've never not known this guy to bring his A-plus game. So I'm just asking for your A game. You don't have to bring the plus. If you do, fucking woo, let's go. But keep your ears peeled for that. Let's see. Primetimeproductions.net is the website. Primetime Prods on Twitter, on X. At NBA Cross Court on Twitter. Celtics are fucking electric. 63-18, number one in the East. I don't know what else I gotta say. I don't know what else I gotta do. The regular season's over. We've lasted a whole fucking season together, boys and girls. I appreciate you. I love you, fam. Thank you for tuning in and listening to this idiot voice for an hour plus in your ears every once a week. I love doing it. I love, you know, giving you guys a show. I love, you know, talking C's, talking hoop. Adam Silver, find some testicles, find a backbone. I'm going to get like a cease and desist from this motherfucker. But yeah, that is episode 34. Hashtag the truth. Hashtag Paul Pierce. Hashtag let's fucking go. Yeah. And as always, forever and always, Celtics are 63-18, leading the East going into the playoffs in cruise control. I am Marty the Meat Man. We are Cross Court Coverage. You are the wonderful, fantastic, beautiful listeners. And as always, forever and always, it is Go Celtics or Go Fuck Yourself.
Peace. Playoffs, baby.